cliffcentral.com.
Yebo, that's the MKT show, cliffcentral.com. You can follow that and subscribe today. And if you're wondering who's our special guest this morning, it's Naled DM. She's got an incredible YouTube channel. She does all kinds of cool stuff. We found out all about mukbang this morning. And now I'm sure that there are lots and lots of people like, we're going to do mukbang too, but you're not going to beat her. She's way ahead of the game. She's in charge. I love it. We learned about, what's that seafood thing called? Seafood boils.
Seafood boils.
Yay! Yeah. Seafood awesome. Boils. Yes, yes.
So we got
so delicious. Please make Gareth try one.
No, it's not. It's not my thing here. It sounds like
I've had it, yeah. Gareth. No, don't. It's horrendous. The Americans don't know food. Don't follow me.
Not my favorite thing. So Bulelo started a bit of a thing this morning by talking about these pool parties. And hey, I'm really excited to think about this stuff because summer's just around the corner. Christmas isn't that far away. I mean, so what, 3.5 months from now, we'll be doing that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happened?
Shout out Jesus.
Yeah, they put out those Christmas decorations now, Mbulelo. You're going to walk to the stores soon and you're going to hear the music. You're going to see the tint. I'm telling you, it's coming. But
I'm sick already.
In the mall.
But let's just focus. Let's just focus for a second on this summer idea. I like the idea of pool parties. I like the idea of people having fun again, being outside, not all this cold, shitty stuff that we've been through. So here are a couple of things. First of all, we've got this from Dogozo. Says, please, will you explain what yuppies and yentas are, Bulelo? You can go ahead. I haven't been keeping up with the lingo these days. It's hardly these days lingo. This is old school lingo. So yuppies. Mm-hmm. Yuppies are things that existed. I remember when I was in primary school, my parents would talk about yuppies. They were young, up-and-coming professionals or something. It was a very American term, right?
Yeah. So it would be – so the yuppies would be, if you're imagining it through the American lens, the Harvard kid who's got the BMW, mm-hmm. who's just finished but doing his MBA – and they hang out at the country club and they live that life.
Right.
They got the horse. They got the, okay. You know, they got the holiday. They go to in New England. They go to the countryside. That's where that real yuppie vibe is, that East Coast Brown University. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's what mm-hmm. real yuppies
and,
are. And we've got those.
How do you understand yenta?
Now, yentas, that's going to happen. There, a lot of them in my road. Got one in particular. She's fantastic. Gladys,
what is the
unbelievable.
Yenta?
Like, every Yenta's. Day, hop us five, she's out there and cooking on the ride. Hi, Ima Beleli, you're right. I say, how's it, Gladys? I say, how
what area do you live
how
in?
You, Gladys, how you doing?
Who is this you, lady?
How you doing, Gladys?
The only yuppie I know is a plus yuppie.
A plus yuppie.
I'm pretty sure you guys know what a plus yuppie
Plus yuppie is something that's totally different. Yeah. That's like a
farm boy.
Right. Afrikaans dude from the farm. Yeah.
No.
Thanks for emphasizing on Afrikaans. I don't want to say
it. Well, it had to be. It has to be. So, all right. You know how I understood yenta? A yenta is someone who sits at Tasha's in Morningside and just gossips about other people. That's what a yenta is to me.
And generally, an
who
a
came
lady,
up with this lingo?
So, yenta comes from Yiddish. So, it's it's the language that many of the Jews in Eastern Europe used to speak. And there's quite a lot of Yiddish spoken in South Africa in the Jewish community. But yenta is like a gossiping old busybody. It's like one of those women who knows all the stories of what's going on in the community, and she talks about everybody's husbands, and she knows who's having an affair with who, and she wonders about this one's income, and she's concerned about that one's child because they've started taking drugs, and it's one of those kind of people.
That's Gladys. Gladys.
So what does Gladys? What does Gladys say to you when you bump into her on your street?
We'll have a little bit of a catch up.
How does she talk?
Go
on.
Because hi you, and I tell you something is there's a new guy on my road. His car's so loud. But anyway, what do you think of my new shoes? I say, Gladys, they're unbelievable. You look great. And she's out there. She's moving and grooving and, no reason to be 70 plus and not doing
Does she power walk?
Oh, yeah. No, she's, I would say 65 and upwards.
All right.
But energetic. She's moving it, but definitely, you know, I mean, oh, this hill, it's killing me.
That's
killing
me.
You know, there's no reason not to stay young. You know what I mean? It's
just, you live in the whitest neighborhood ever.
Yes, definitely.
My gosh.
He really does.
I walk in your neighborhood.
All right.
So safe.
Lots of other people talking about this. Just quickly, listen to this. First of all, I was about to offer that Bulelo could come and swim in my pool. This is Beth. She says, but then I realized I live in the south and Bulelo will never travel here. Yeah,
not a chance.
I also
not for all the money in the world.
Wait a minute.
Not for any money in the world.
What's wrong with the south? I'm from the south.
No, listen, let me tell you something.
100,000 subscribers and 7 million views.
Right. Tell him.
You know, so check carefully.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with the South, but it doesn't mean I have to go there. So if you're fine in the South,
Bulelo, where do you stay? What do you stay?
No, that's not important.
In the North. Four Ways doesn't count. If you stay in Four Ways, that's its own city on its own. That's Four Ways. And then there's people who like Gareth. Who stay in the north, like, you know, Bryanston, Hyde Park. Four Ways doesn't count.
Did I not just tell you in my road there's a 65-year-old who walks alone? How could I be living in Four Ways? Come on, have some respect.
What kind of Four Ways is to me? It's populated in there.
Hold on. So you know, because you don't know Mbulelo at all, even if we know you, Naledi. Mbulelo's got a huge superiority complex. He believes not in going anywhere outside of the northern suburbs of Johannesburg. He believes... Like, Eastgate is way too far east. The Dome is way too far west. And he never goes beyond the CBD south.
No. I don't go past. Listen, I used to live on that road. You know where St. John's College is? That's Houghton Drive.
Yes.
That's the limit. I'm not going past there. Anywhere past there, nyap. No. You can courier stuff. I can courier stuff in. No.
Wow. As someone from the south, I don't know whether to feel offended or to kind of agree with you, because, I mean, we are far. But, I mean, there's so much potential in the South.
I love this.
We have Mall of the South and we have Gojov City, something you guys don't have.
There we go.
No, that's because we don't like our water being infected. You know, gold mines actually seep into the water.
And we don't like being in traffic that takes 4 hours a day. But I guess if William Nickel makes you happy, then go ahead, eh? You guys literally never have lights and robots. And every day for you going to work feels like a journey to Durban. But go ahead. If it makes you happy leaving the house at 5 o'clock to get to work at 9, good.
I used to have a girlfriend in the south. She was so far in the south, it was Alberton. And I never...
Oh, my God.
I never used to go there. No, I never went. She used to meet me halfway.
I live in Alberton.
See? I knew that. I used to make her meet me halfway. I never went to Alberton ever.
How did you meet someone from Alberton, Gareth?
Like anyone who's decent, she used to come to the northern suburbs for social occasions. So look at the looks we're getting from Naledi.
You fell in love with her. And then you fell in love with her. What does that say? Alberton girls are gems. Gemstones, rubies, and sapphires.
I know some lovely people from Alberton, but that doesn't mean I have to go there to find them or to meet them or to see them. They must come to our side.
I'm shocked that you know lovely people from Alberton. I'm stuck on that.
I know some nice people from Alberton. I mean, we're just meeting Naledi now. I mean, what kind of a thing is that to say?
She could be an anomaly. There's an anomaly in everything. You know what I mean?
How rude. Naledi's the anomaly. That's very rude. What about her friends and family?
That's very rude.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
They live in Alberton.
I don't know your friends and family. What does that do now?
You see what she's doing with her eyes? She's checking you out. She's going to take out a hit on you soon if you don't shut up.
I'm not going to the south. <What happened? laughs>
All right. I want to go back to the pool parties. So Sindile says, yep, black people pool parties. We don't swim. The pool is just a feature. And then this is a good one. Apparently, you know, the worst kinds of things, according to some people, is that you don't want to go anywhere where there's a pool with rock features and a lapa. That is apparently no good. That's when you know you're at the wrong kind of pool party.
What's wrong with that?
According to Tracy, no rock pools with a thatched roof lapa.
You know what that? You know what happens there? That's like new money. They don't know what to do with that. Like they started selling generators when Eskom started crashing, so they got that big money, and then they start like spending their money on things like.
My ex-boyfriend had a pool with rocks and La Perouse kind of. What is? What are you guys even? You know what? You guys have been taking shots at me for the past 10 minutes now. Okay, no. I'm gonna take shots at you guys, and it's not gonna be funny, Mbulelo.
Mbulelo. I love it.
Melody, that's why you dumped him. That's why you dumped him, though. You're showing potential because you're like, rock pool, that's not going to work long term. I need to get out of here. So shout out to you that you're already, considering you're from Alberton, making those moves.
Jim says the best thing that comes out of the South is the M1 North.
I'm ready to fight, guys. I want to fight. You know what? Somebody open the ring. Yeah, not Casper said to AK and everybody. Somebody open a ring. Book a ring right now. I'll fight all of you. Okay? Let's go.
Our guest star this morning, Naledi, Dogozo's obviously a big fan of yours. He says, Naledi vlogged a trip to Durban this one time and went to a party on the wrong side of the Mugeni River and then dissed it. Oof. The right people don't party there anymore. Sure. Okay, so.
A bit of a hypocrite there, Naledi. So
that's called influence.
That's nice. That's nice. So
the Gareth Club Show sucks.
I love this. You must come back. I'm already like I'm totally in this. All right. Jean says, imagine Mbulelo in El Dorado Park, lol. I don't think it's gonna happen, to be serious. Oh.
Let's feel his shoes.
Let's be honest, says Alex. Nobody says one day I want to live in Winchester Hills.
Do you know how very Bridgerton that sounds? Winchester. Hastings. What's wrong with Winchester Hills? Hey. It's in the hills.
So you watched Devilsdorp, and you've obviously watched – I've never seen Bridgerton. Is this worth watching? Is it something that you think we'd like or – I don't know. I mean, I've heard good stories.
Gareth, you know what? I don't know anymore. You don't know Seafood Boil. We've been learning about mukbangs. Bridgerton is amazing.
Okay.
It's like a beautiful love story about this lady who falls in love with the Duke of Hastings, and the Duke doesn't want to fall in love. And then he also doesn't want to do that thing where two adults have, you know, that thing
beast,
that he shall not say.
The
and
beast
then he
with two backs.
He doesn't want to make, right? He doesn't want to make the birds and the bees inside of her, and he keeps lying to her. It's brilliant. Just watch it. It's just too much.
Okay.
But it's a beautiful love story by Shonda Rhimes. Anything by Shonda Rhimes is
That's
perfect.
That's pretty much TV genius there. Okay, so
Robin
says hot tub with a LARPer, no go. So
scum. The LARPer. Oh, who said that, Robin?
You guys
scum.
Already dissed us about not knowing how to swim. The least we could do is get a hot tub.
Scum.
It's hot.
Scum.
A hot tub, the above ground hot tub in the LARPA, new money. I started selling generators when Eskom crashed. No,
oh my God.
Only jacuzzi, in the ground jacuzzi if we're doing it, pal. And no LARPA, the LARPA with the thatch thing, that's got to go. That's not the kind of house party I want to be
at. Don't give you the wrong name. Do you have a second name? Do you have a second name? Like a back then name? Do you have that name? Like when they don't call you Mbulelo, what's your other name?
Kayalet is my man. I have a show called the MKT Show.
I find nothing wrong with a hot tub and a LARPA. I mean, not for me, though. Not for me. Y'all be easy. But, like, I see nothing wrong with it. What's wrong with a hot tub?
In the South, that scores you points to have hot tub and LARPA. It's great, right?
I'm coming for you guys. We still have about 40 more minutes. And now I'm coming for the both of you.
Well, speaking of the next 40 minutes or so, we've got some quite interesting stuff to get into, and I do want to talk about some of the stuff that's happening in the news, because this Afghanistan situation is pretty damn awful, and it's very embarrassing for America, no matter whose side you're on. If you're a Joe Biden fan, or you're a fan of Donald Trump or anyone else, this is just such a mess for America, and I can't believe that we're having this conversation again 25 years later, 20 years later. It feels to me Like nothing has changed for the, you know, there's so many women in Afghanistan who up to a short while ago were actually allowed to walk around with their faces uncovered. I mean, they were able to go out and learn to read, learn to write. Now that's going to be banned again because the Taliban don't like women learning. Of course, it's a big threat to them. Who knows whether this is going to go back to the same kind of thing that it was, you know, in the early 2000s when the Taliban were overthrown, or whether it's going to be even worse. I mean, I'd like to think it would be a bit better, but it's very, very scary to me. So we'll talk a little bit about that later on, but we've got way more important things to get to, like hot tubs and swimming. Cindy says, well, first of all, Beth says, I don't have a hot tub because my kids would turn it into urinal. Yeah, that's...
urinal!
Yeah. And Jean says, this is an interesting point. Like property in South Africa, you can sell a property much more easily if you do have a LAPA. So it's not. It's only you and me.
You know why?
It's only you and me.
Why? Because Afrikaans people love braaiing where LAPAs are involved. So I'm really surprised to hear this coming from you guys. Okay? Like, it's really funny. Wherever there's lappers, there is a couple of white guys braaiing in khaki shorts and, like, knee-high socks. So it's really amazing to me.
So B of all B says, Naledi lives in the south but didn't know that Sun City is a prison there. She's an anomaly. Yeah.
Look, I really, the only Sun City I knew, I was an innocent child. Sun City was the resort.
Next minute
you hear, the older you become, you hear your friends are in Sun City. Like, oh okay, the rest of it. No, the jail. Guys, I'm an innocent child. I'm not a jail.
But you see, that would also mostly happen in the South. This is where people develop a complex about the South, you see, because that's exactly the kind of story that comes out of there. Can we just talk about these jacuzzis for a second? So I remember a friend of mine had a big bachelor's party, and what he did is he bought two of these inflatable jacuzzis, all right? And they're the kind that you can completely – it blows itself up. You connect it to the power, then you fill it up with water, and then it switches on and it warms up, and it's like a – you know, like the ones that are built in, but of course it's easier to clean and you could put it away when you don't have to blow it up. So he bought them and he paid, I don't know, 13 grand each for them. So they were quite expensive. Anyway, the one he didn't even use at the bachelor's party, it was still in the box. And he said to me, do you want it? And I thought, I'll buy it. How much? So he gave it to me for like 8 or 9 grand. So I thought, all right, I've got it. I've used it maybe twice. And it's a bit of a pain in the backside to open up, to put back in the box, to clean. But I feel like that is a little bit more hygienic and healthy than the ones that are built in, because you don't know what's going on behind those concrete walls and the pipes and the things underground. And did I waste my money? Because I haven't used it this year at all. I wasted my money.
Yeah, no, you didn't waste your money. Of course you didn't, guys. You were just making it. Yes. I mean, you bought a whole blow-up jacuzzi. That's ridiculous.
Well, he...
Like, what?
He also needed the money. Listen, I'm telling you the story because I've never had a jacuzzi. I never wanted one. But I thought that this was a good time to buy one. The thing was up for a good price. I thought I'd probably use it a lot more than I have used it. And I thought it would be a fun thing to have at a party. But obviously, it was a total waste. Total waste.
You made the classic mistake. Listen, a mentor of mine once said, let me just tell you, you made a classic mistake. A jacuzzi is not a fun thing. It's not a relationship or a girlfriend. You don't just get it just to see how it goes. When you get a jacuzzi, if you have to ask how much it costs and the maintenance costs are going to scare you, don't get it. Because what you need to do is get the very top end, right, where the guys come in, do it properly, seal it so that all of the concerns you have don't happen to your pool. I know exactly what you're talking about, where it gets like filmy and, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about, but that's those cheap ones, which is why I don't want to go to any parties that are outside. Because they have the real thing. I know what your concerns are. Build your jacuzzi into the ground and spend some top dollar. I do not have that kind of money. Please, anybody with that kind of house in mind.
Can one assume you like pools because maybe like you may not bathe as often as you want to, and swimming is just a good way to really clean up. You know, I was reading another article with Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis, I think, if they're still together.
I heard about
and they
this.
Were like, they don't bathe their kids unless they're actually dirty and it's necessary. And I'm starting to think that's why you might like swimming. I don't know.
So let's just explain this for a second, because this is a whole new thing. This is a new kind of privilege.
It's not that new.
No, well, the idea that Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis, they put out this statement, like anyone asked, or maybe someone did ask them. I don't know how it came out. Anyway, that they don't wash their kids unless their kids are actually covered in filth, because they reckon it's bad for their skins and you shouldn't have to wash too many times. And I mean, this is just unbelievable that we're even talking about this. Is crazy, because they're not our children. It's not our problem. But I need to understand, why would somebody make a thing about not washing their children? Are they trying to sound interesting? What's this all about? Seriously.
Are they celebrities?
I mean, what? No, this is not a celebrity thing. This is a white people thing. Please, like, no, let's take a step back. No. I don't know if it's a celebrity thing, but I can safely say I've had a few friends from high school that I knew that didn't really like taking a shower or a bath, or they would come to school without really having taken a shower or a bath. And I mean, you know, a lot of my friends back in school used to have pets, so you could see like a lot of like the
pet hair.
Dog.
Yeah.
And they literally only believed in taking a shower in the evening because that's after a long day. And then they would just brush their teeth in the morning and put like obviously roll on and go to school. So I was like,
Are you a one shower in the morning a day person, or are you a two shower a day person? What's your story?
I'm a one shower a day person. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a one shower a day person. I don't know. Wait. Why is everyone looking at me like that? What is going on here? How many showers is a person supposed to take?
I'm not sure. I think it's meant to be, you know.
Wait a minute. No.
What kind of gross monster are you? Listen. Stop everything now. Wake up. You're going to be interacting with other human beings. Have some respect for yourself. You shower before you enter the world. Then before you enter, obviously, I don't know what kind of life people are living, but before you get into your bed, have some respect for yourself. You take a shower, because I know everybody thinks, no, but I'm kind of clean. No, you're not. Human skin is constantly shedding. You've been sweating all day. Respect your bedding. And also hygienically, you don't want to be, unless you wash your sheets every day, if you're constantly kind of moving around with your sweaty, disgusting body at night, in your sheets.
I don't sweat the way you do. Just because you're walking around constantly beating your chest and getting sweaty. I'm a girl, remember? Hi, the lady. Female. She. Her. Pronouns.
I love it.
So I don't sweat like the average man. I don't go around just sweating, but I hear your point.
Listen, there is some sense to what both of you are saying. Like I'm always erring on the side of clean because I've got a little bit of obsessive compulsive disorder. But what you're pointing out here, and maybe what Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis are saying, I'm not saying that you agree with them, but maybe what they're saying is like it's actually quite bad for your skin to over wash. Like you become gets very dry, very ashy. You will have skin problems as a result of overwashing. You know, you can't be clean every single second of the day. It's impossible, first of all. As you say, Mbulelo, you're always shedding skin anywhere. There are natural oils that are produced that are necessary to keep the skin healthy. And if you're washing all the time, it's probably bad for you.
100%.
True, but please just shower at least once a day. I agree with you to a certain extent, you know. A cousin of mine once told me when I was really young, I used to put lots of Colgate on my toothbrush. I don't know how real this is. But he was like, if you put too much toothpaste on your teeth will start to erode after some time.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, is that why people have yellow teeth and don't brush their teeth that much? Apparently, I don't know.
It looks like you got pretty damn awesome teeth. I'd rather take your advice than this friend of yours.
Well, I mean, it's braces. It's definitely my orthodontist. I'll punch his number.
Well,
but...
whatever you're doing.
I think we should shower.
All right. Well, I think let's all have a shower later after the show this morning. But before we get to that, couple of things we have to get to. And we're going to talk to someone called Karel Snyman just now about BMW, which I know is something everybody wants to know about. But we'll get to that in a second. We're also going to talk about electric vehicles and all kinds of other interesting things. But first, what do boats, diffusion, and breakfast have to do with culture? Well, according to King Price's culture expert, Marnu Bosov, they have a lot to do with each other. King Price has got a brand new podcast out called A Word from the King, where they explore many facets of workplace culture from the perspective of King Price and their one-of-a-kind culture model. Learn how to balance culture and strategy, make the switch from have to want to, and intentionally design a company culture that inspires and motivates everyone who walks through the doors. And there are 7 episodes of this. They're all available right now on Cliff Central platforms, or you can find them on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, Overcast, Pocket Casts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. So I want to talk a little bit about the future of driving, and we're going to talk to a man who is an expert in electric vehicles and solar energy. And in 1988, this man joined the National Energy Council, which was a government agency forum to research alternative transport energy. He was so far ahead of everybody else. And if we just listened to him back then, who knows how much of an advanced society we could live in. We could be in flying cars by now if we just opened up our ears and listened to Karel all those years ago. So he's going to join us this morning to talk a little bit about electric vehicle technologies and how we evaluate them and how they can be used more effectively, what they can do for us. And he's joining us as part of our discussion around BMW's Drive Tomorrow, Today campaign. And Karel, it's a great pleasure to see you and to have you on the show this morning. And welcome to you. Thanks for joining me and Naledi and Bulelo this morning. It's true, you were doing this in 1988. You were looking at alternative energy for transport. That's an incredible story. You've been paying attention for much longer than we have.
Yeah, that's when it started. And thank you for those kind words. It's very nice to hear them. I wish you could repeat them sometime.
No, well, I promise.
But anyway,
I'm just pleased to meet people who are this far ahead of the curve. So let's just go through your story quickly, because you were in this NEC, the National Energy Council, for a long time. And then they eventually closed their doors in 1992. You worked at Eskom for a little bit. You directed the electric transport program and converted 12 different kinds of vehicles to electric propulsion, and one of them was a game viewing vehicle that is still used in the Kruger National Park. This initiative ended in 2002 when the oil price fell to $12 a barrel, and obviously that made it very difficult for you to argue for electric vehicles because, you know, fuel was cheaper. In 2013, you joined Sanedi as a general manager of the Cleaner Mobility Program, and today you're consulting and you're still following your passion in electric vehicles and solar energy. Is that a fair summary of your incredible and varied career?
Yeah, thank you very much. I had a very interesting career, and I'm very happy for companies like Eskom that made it possible for me to do these evaluations that we did and also converted the vehicles to electric. I just got to correct you in one thing. Mm-hmm. The game viewing vehicle is not with the Kruger National Park anymore.
Oh.
It's been at the Leopard Sanctuary and other places, but today it's out of work. It doesn't work anymore. So, Well, I guess if you put batteries in it, you can still get it to run, but it's not operational in any game park, unfortunately.
So you've been in this game a long time. Before electric vehicles, EVs, as we call them now, were even known as EVs. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of electric vehicles, especially from your point of view, where you know way more than we do?
Wow, yeah. Electric vehicles started way back in the 18s. The first vehicles were produced. And after that, they were actually leading early in the 1900s, before the internal combustion engine vehicles became commonplace because of the longer range they had and the invention of the electric starter that made it easier to crank these vehicles and easier to use them. So that's about when electric vehicles lost popularity. Just got to mention, in 1901, the world speed record, land speed record, was set by a French guy in an electric vehicle, and that was 101 kilometers an hour at that time. They were around for many years.
In those days, there was nothing else that was as fast as that, right?
No, nothing else. That was the speed record. But of course,
in some ways, electric vehicles are actually not just they didn't just precede the ICE vehicles that we talk about today, the internal combustion engine vehicles, but they were contemporaneous with each other.
Yeah, no, they were better. I mean, you had to buy, when the internal combustion engine vehicle started, you had to buy your liter of benzene from the pharmacy. There were no infrastructure, no fuel pumps and things. So all this developed from almost nothing, and really an amazing journey. I mean, the way we treat cars as if we actually have a love affair with them is amazing, what they've achieved. And the piece of technology that we have today called the ICE car, which is being banned now from many roads in Europe already, is a fantastic development. But even more so now, electric cars. I mean, Tesla has shown us in the world that electric vehicles can beat ICE vehicles on their own performance terms. I mean, speed is higher, acceleration is better. The technology is just so much better.
I couldn't agree with you more, but what was your main motivation for choosing to buy an electric vehicle or to get involved in electric vehicles so much earlier on?
Well, when I joined the National Energy Council, it was actually a major career change for me, but I started investigating where energy comes from, where it's produced, where it's used, how it moves throughout the world, how it's applied in terms of transportation energy, energy for mobility, as we call it, in vehicles and other places. And then I realized South Africa is actually well positioned to get great benefits from electric vehicles. We only have one time zone. Mm-hmm. And overnight, in those days at least, we had the cheapest electricity price.
Right.
And we had nobody buying electricity between the evening peak and the next morning peak. And that big amount of energy that is available then could keep 6 million vehicles traveling the next day, 50 kilometers each. So with the cheapest electricity, you don't have to import crude oil anymore. If we change our fleet to electric vehicles, we'd save a heck of a lot of money. Yeah. Today, I mean, we buy this oil for about $14 billion and convert that into petrol and diesel, use it in our vehicles. And that is that's the same amount of money that we earn by exporting all our minerals. So it doesn't make business sense for South Africa to do that if we have all this electricity. And I mean, if you want to really make the electricity clean, if you go to solar, we have twice the radiation of solar energy in South Africa that they have in Germany.
So
we have double the benefit.
You've done all these cost breakdowns and these analyses, and I'm curious about how you would compare the running costs of an electric vehicle and a car with similar power at a similar price in the ICE model.
Well, if you consider the energy that an internal combustion engine car uses, the car is about 15% efficient. That means
1.5
in terms of beers. Yeah, 1.5.
Sure.
That means in terms of beers, you want to drink one, but you've got to buy five and throw four away.
That's an incredible comparison. Wow, what a waste of
money. That's what you're doing there. So the electric car is much more efficient, close to 80-85% more efficient. So it uses six times less energy to do the same work than you would with an internal combustion in your car. So I use about 11.7 kilowatt hours to travel 100 kilometers, mm-hmm. say 12. So that'll cost me 20 rands. Now, a similar car, petrol car, I had one, would consume about 8 liters 100 kilometers. And that'll cost me today 136 rands. So 20 compared to 136 is a saving of 20,000 rand every year. It's a massive difference.
Now, when it comes to actually driving that car, is there any difference to you? Because you've driven both, so you can compare them, you know, apples and apples. What do you make of that?
Yeah. Look, it's the same thing. It's got four wheels. It's got a shell that protects you against the weather, a nice comfortable seat, a steering wheel, all those sort of things. But the technology is completely different. I mean, inside the engine, for instance, is not an internal combustion. And there's no explosions in the engine. The engine does not require oil or water or things like that. If you can imagine, your fridge has got an AC induction motor powering your fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a very similar type of motor that powers your electric car. It's not exactly the same motor, and the motor is bigger, of course. But how often do you take your fridge to a service? What kind of maintenance do you need? There's almost nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
So the electric motor in an electric car needs no maintenance, and it's quiet. So when you get into the car, and you switch on, there's only lights coming on. And they've added some sounds to the lights, pleasant sounds, so that you get a pleasant feeling when you switch on the car. In your internal combustion engine car, also the lights do come on. not as many nice, but anyway, lights come on. But you hear suddenly the explosions in the engine.
Yeah.
And I'm exaggerating, but I mean, it's really what's happening in your car.
Well, some of us,
they muffled this.
I mean, let me just bring in, you know, a little bit of the petrol head in everybody, is that we sometimes like a little bit of that sound. And I'm always concerned when I hear how quiet these electric vehicles are. Some of them are so silent that you can hardly, I mean, you can whisper around them and you'll be absolutely fine. You can hear each other speak over the engine no matter what. I'm worried that, like, kids crossing the road won't even hear them when they cross the road. They've had to start making noises just to alert people to the fact that the electric vehicle's even there.
Yeah, and you know, if you're a real petrolhead, you can add the sound of a Harley Davidson to your electric car, no problem.
That's probably true. So what about
this? I've actually done that, you know.
You have?
No, people have done that.
Oh, I thought you had.
you can choose the sound. No, I haven't. I love the so silent. And really, in the city, when everybody is driving electric, you will hear the road noise. And people will adjust. It's not a problem.
And you could also obviously hear if something else is going on, which is quite helpful. Whereas if you're in a car and all you hear is your own engine, you can't hear a damn thing outside of that.
Can you imagine the sound system in your car not being interrupted by this?
What about the big issue that many people have about electric vehicles? And it comes up time and time again that the biggest concern they have is range anxiety, you know, where people are worried that they're going to run out of electricity and their car's just going to stop on the side of the road. And that's the end of it. I mean, I've sometimes, even though I drive a diesel vehicle at the moment, I've sometimes looked at that petrol gauge and thought, oh my God, I'm not even going to make it home because I've forgotten to fill up with diesel. Now, it's the same kind of thing with an electric vehicle. You wouldn't forget to fill up completely. And if you do, that's on you. That's not the vehicle's fault.
Yeah. No, the range anxiety really exists with people that do not drive electric, or the first drivers, the people that just started driving electric. But you learn to plan very quickly. I mean, the first vehicle that I had when I was still at Eskom was an old Corsa Bucky that we converted to electric.
Yeah.
And I used that vehicle as my first choice commute, you know. I only had a range of about 80 kilometers because we're using lead acid batteries at the time.
Sure.
And I never got stuck, really. And I had all kinds of plans that I made. In those days, you didn't have infrastructure, of course.
Yeah.
So I had a long lead that I plugged in where I played action cricket or whatever, meetings. I plugged in every time I stopped somewhere, I plugged in because, I mean, I was traveling around Pretoria, Johannesburg area, and that becomes quite a problem if you don't have the range.
Carl, how good are our batteries these days in EVs?
Well, the batteries are excellent. I mean, the latest news from Tesla, they say that after 200,000 kilometers, their batteries have lost 10% capacity. Now, that is excellent. Not every electric vehicle battery is on that par with that already, on that level. But they are getting there. And there's other technologies that people are working on now as well that'll make the battery so much better. I mean, batteries are in the infancy, the new ones that we're talking about.
So we have challenges with our power grid in this country, and you've mentioned Eskom a few times. Does that impact on your overall enjoyment of the EV experience? I mean, do you think that it's something that we should be concerned about long term?
No, I don't think so. I think the way we generate energy will change in the long term.
Right.
It's not going to be just Eskom. I'm independent from Eskom. I don't use Eskom power for my home. I don't use Eskom power for my car. I've got solar cells on my roof, and I charge my car every day from those solar panels. If I do need a fast charge, if I travel longer distances, and I've been traveling around the whole day, for instance, I could pop into a BMW dealership and charge my car for free at a fast charger. So I haven't spent more than half an hour there to charge my car. And maybe at some place you can pop into the dealership and you get a cup of coffee and you relax a bit and then you get back to the car and it's fully charged, no problem. But in terms of Eskom, if we in South Africa had a fleet of electric vehicles, at least say 2 million electric vehicles,
right?
And say Eskom charged the batteries for these cars overnight, and you can fill that valley overnight between the evening peak and the next morning peak, then Eskom can sell every kilowatt hour they produce And that enables them then to become more efficient in terms of producing electricity. And they can reduce the price of electricity again. So if you sell every product you make, I mean, they can't switch off the big power stations every night. So they've got to lie idle.
Got to keep them going.
And they're still keeping them going. Yeah. So it still consumes coal and all that, but nobody's buying electricity. It's like an open tap. The water is falling on the ground.
Mm.
If you had electric vehicles, it could collect this water falling on the ground, all the kilowatt hours. And at a low price, you can incentivize people to charge overnight. And then you can sell this electricity as well, become more efficient, sell electricity that you're not able to sell today. Now, I know Eskom power stations are not that reliable nowadays because they're very old.
Just one.
But Eskom is also now.
Yeah, yeah.
Eskom is also now transitioning into different sources of energy. Kumatipur is a new station that they will turn into a renewable energy base.
You mentioned the BMW charging stations, and I thought that was a really good. I mean, I didn't know until we spoke to the CEO the other day how many of these charging stations they've got across South Africa, and they're building an incredible infrastructure that will enable just about anybody to charge anywhere for free. And you don't even, I mean, what a pleasure that would be, because then we don't really care. But you're obviously a big fan of renewable energy in any which way. What's the furthest you've ever been in an electric vehicle?
I think I've done about 220 kilometers in one day. I've driven to anything from here and back. And that is possible to do. I mean, in the beginning, if it's your first drive, you take it easy. You don't go 120 kilometers an hour. You go a little bit less. You try and keep it at 100 because you're fighting air resistance. And, mm-hmm. and the higher your speed, that increases quadratically. So you got to think about driving efficiently. And I've, over the years, especially with a range of when you only have 80 kilometers, you learn how to drive very efficiently. Now I have a nice range. I mean, the BMW can give me, if I'm really careful, I can get up to 300 kilometers.
Amazing. Well, Carl, thank you. We wanted to speak to someone who's independent about this to give us the inside track. You've been doing it for such a long time. You live this story. You don't just talk about it. You're a real fan of electric vehicles and of alternative transport using ways and means that we should be considering more and more. Just one last thing. Do you see South Africa and, in fact, the rest of the world? I mean, there are parts of the world that are already moving very fast in this direction. Do you see South Africa turning into a much more energy-efficient place soon? And do you see more and more transport changing to electric vehicles in the short term, medium term, and long term? What's your projection?
Well, I do hope so. I mean, some of these things are controlled by government, and sometimes that is not clear exactly what the direction is. And we've been waiting a long time for them to allow more renewable energy to enter the mix of energy supply in South Africa. And there's been some resistance to that change. I'm not quite sure why. We can all speculate about these things. There's got some quite interesting conspiracy theories and stories out there. We had this gas ships, and we had the nuclear debate and all these sort of things. But because we have such a wonderful amount of potential renewable energy in South Africa, we would be stupid not to follow that route.
Absolutely.
And I do believe there is some change, some positivities around that now. And I do believe we can become a leader regarding renewable energy, not just in Africa, but in the world.
Right.
But we have to put our minds to it and start doing the job.
Well, thank goodness we got people like you paying attention to these things. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you for having me. Great talking to you.
There he is. That's Carl Snyman, who is an electric vehicle and solar energy consultant and expert. What a pleasure to speak to him this morning and find out a little bit about that stuff. It's part of what we're going to be bringing you as BMW make electric vehicles more well-known to all of us, and they start to roll out some really cool and interesting models too. If you missed last week's conversation with the CEO, you want to hear that because they've got big plans. And we'll be talking to some people over the course of the next coming few weeks to try and get us all up to speed so we know what's going on in the world of electric vehicles and we can pay more attention and make more interesting decisions and more nuanced decisions around what is available. So electric vehicles and solar energy, among other things discussed today, and plenty more on the way. That's part of BMW's Drive Tomorrow Today campaign, cliffcentral.com. It is 12 minutes to 8. I've still got Bulelo and Naledi here with us. And it's been really fun hanging with you, Naledi. You've woken a whole bunch of people up.
Thank you.
Lots of people saying that this...
this show is alive this morning because of you. So you've made all the right impact. People are enjoying having you here.
Yay!
Mm-hmm.
So glad to hear that. I'm actually having a great time.
No, it's lovely.
So one of the best.
I just want to say quickly before we move off, Carl sounds like a human being I would love to be best mates with. The word efficiency was used so many times.
Yeah, you love that.
I can that's in his personal life all the time. He's not wasting time. He's not wasting, right. Man. Carl, shout out to that.
So we were talking the other day on the show about people who have lots and lots of money. Look at this quickly. There's some sheikh in the Middle East who flew all of his falcons from one place to another in a plane. They were all
what?
These are all falcons. These are his birds, and on the one side are all the handlers. And on the other side is just all of these birds. They're tethered to little, I suppose, harnesses, and they've got their little hoods on, which protect them because then they can't really see what's going on around them, so they calm down. And this is what really rich people do: is they hire a 747 just to transport their falcons. That's how you know you're really wealthy.
You ever seen what those falcons can do?
They're amazing.
They are absolutely incredible. It is the royal sport of the Emirates. An extreme.
Oh, really?
That's a royal.
So they're not like
sport.
Those Hogwarts pigeons that carry letters and they take them to
No.
Bring them to students.
These things are okay. So these are probably mostly peregrine falcons. They're the fastest birds in the sky. They can stoop. They call it a stoop. They can rush down towards the earth at speeds that are just absolutely incomprehensible to humans. Like we can't move that fast if we try. And they can see everything. They've got amazing eyesight. They can find prey. They can spot their owner, handler, and land on their arm from like a mile up in the sky. They're absolutely incredible animals. 300 Ks an hour or something.
So why have so many of them?
Because
does he do with them?
Because you're rich and you want to make your friends feel poor. You just get way more falcons than they can have. And you're like, I'm the king. I'm the king of the UAE, or I'm the sultan of this, or I'm the sheikh of this. So I'm just going to prove that I'm richer than you by having a whole lot more falcons than you.
So like what we do with cars.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, with a LARPA. That's it. South African. South Africans, instead of having falcons, we have a LARPA.
Yeah, we love LARPAs.
It's ridiculous, right? We've been very mean about people and their LARPAs and things this morning. I think we need to apologize while we still have time.
No chance.
Yeah,
keep it in the south.
We'll let it go ahead.
No, yeah. What? Absolutely no chance.
What?
Keep it in the south. Keep it in the east. Keep it in the west. Like, you know what? Having said this, this is a good time for me to get out some family drama.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. obviously, mm-hmm. born working class, my aunt moves into Eagle Canyon. What's the first thing she does?
Mm-hmm.
Builds a LARPA.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm not visiting there.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not visiting there. Those tendencies, no chance.
So, because there's a LARPA. And besides, it's the west. The west. Why would you go there, right?
So you have a problem with
you should tell your aunt.
Hold on a second.
Hypocrite.
You have
Hypocrite.
A problem with the Hypocrite. West, Naledi. Bulelo has a problem with the east, west, and south.
I have a problem with the west.
You guys, this is
no,
such.
I don't have a problem with
there
the
are levels of superiority and inferiority going on here that are just incomprehensible. This is wild.
Disgusting.
Being from the south has taught me to appreciate other parts of Johannesburg. So, like, appreciate the west. I can't hate the west. My school is based in the west. I can't hate the north because I have to work with the likes of Mbulela in the north. So, you know, I really appreciate the likes of everything. And then I go to Bedford View to just imagine what my life is going to be like 10 years from now when I'm like a rich, like, housewife with two kids and a nice Porsche. So I
like this.
I'm really open to learning about this.
All right.
This,
so you want to end up in the east?
Yeah.
Definitely Bedford View.
Okay. So you went to school in the west, currently in the south, moving to the east. Mbulelo says that that's still a waste of time, right? Because you'll still be in the east.
Mbulelo's wearing a bandana as a scarf.
That's not true. This is a buff.
That's a bandana.
When I'm snowboarding. No. It's a buff when I'm snowboarding.
That's
I'm not a gangster.
That's what Ja Rule used to wear with like when he sang "I'm Real." We're in 2021, but okay. Okay.
But just,
okay.
I want to ask you guys something here. I want to show you a picture of all the health experts, the people in the world who've been telling us over the last 2 years what to do to make sure that we're safe from coronavirus. All right. I'm just going to show you a picture. Some of these people are politicians. In fact, most of them are politicians. There's a guy from Canada, Rob Ford. There's a woman who's the Minister of Health in Belgium. There's the mayor of Chicago. There are a couple of people here. Just take a look at these people. Tell me how healthy you think they look. And then think about whether or not we should be listening to these people for advice on our own health. Okay, you ready? Take a look. These are the people. All right. These are the people who've been telling us how to be healthy through coronavirus. They are among the most unhealthy looking people I've ever seen in my entire life. They all look like they're on death's doorstep. And when are we going to learn that these are hardly the people we should be paying attention to when it comes to health? Not one of them looks like they've got at least 5 days left in them. And yet we've been listening.
Shall I tell you a quick story?
Yes.
Great point. So if I go into a doctor and they are overweight, I immediately walk out and I say, thank you for your services. So absolutely. I'm totally. No, I'm dead serious.
I
did that about 3 weeks ago. I walked in, somebody doctor, walked in there. Yeah, no. What are we doing? Like my old lady doesn't mess around. I remember walking around with her and she was doing rounds at Limpopo Hospital.
Yeah.
And she looked at the nurses and my mom doesn't play games. Gather them all around and ask them to take a look at themselves and how they look. Like, my mom's not scared to do that. It's like, if you're a health professional, you have to look a certain way. If you're a fat doctor, I don't go to you. Yeah. And I'm not joking. That I don't.
What? It's always the fat doctors that know what they're doing, especially if they come from Vids or UP, and especially if they've got that hardcore Afrikaans accent. All they need to do is do this and they're going to tell you, you've got bronchitis, eh? Bronchitis, whatever it is. And you're just like, I'm even talking. It's tonsils. I can feel it's tonsils. Yeah. My doctor for a really long time, Dr. Brugge.
Yeah.
He's probably in his 80s or his 90s right now. But every time I go to that doctor, he just looks at me with his obviously very frail eyes for like 2 seconds. And he's like, bronchitis. Now you've got the straight new away. Doctors, your mulelos, that always want to use their stethoscope and you always want to check if my heart is beating. I mean, it's beating. I'm in your office. You know what I mean? Give me a doctor's note.
These older doctors, these ones who you think are trustworthy, these guys should have magic powers to assess immediately what's wrong with you.
I feel like they were studying medicine before we were born, okay?
They were.
The last thing I'm going to do is trust. True. I'm pretty sure they were in the 1980s.
But basically you and Bulelo then are on the same page. He just looks at them and says, okay, this is a healthy or unhealthy person, so I'm going to take advice from them, which is just as stupid as your suggestion of, well, if they're old and they were at UP or at Wits, then you trust them. I mean, both of you should be using the scientific method here. You could be a very unhealthy person, Bulelo, but you could be very good at helping other people to remain healthy just purely on a medical basis. It's like, you know, some chefs aren't fat. Some chefs are thin.
I was literally about to ask, Gareth, do you trust skinny chefs?
Yeah, but I don't really mind because all I know is that this is a very silly argument to have because it doesn't really matter to me what people look like, except in the case of those health advisors that I just showed you now, those politicians. Politicians, you can judge every time because it's a different story. I mean, you might have a doctor who was very, very fit and healthy in his or her youth, but then as they get older, they start enjoying life a little bit more. Maybe they have too many pies. That doesn't mean that they're not in a position to tell you if your lung has got an embolism in it.
No, they're not in a position to tell you, Gareth. They're not in a position to tell me.
All right.
I'm not. I'm fine with you saying that for you, not for me.
Fair enough.
No, I just feel like to a certain degree, that's like basically going to like a cookout and expecting where there's obviously Gareth for the chicken to be flavored. Like, it's not realistic. It's not a real thing. You know? Sometimes I feel like
nice.
People prejudice. Don't know how to use spices and prejudice. It has nothing to do with fat or sin.
Prejudice.
But I love you nonetheless because you guys can swim. Remember?
Yeah. All right.
You guys always say you can't swim.
We're descending into chaos here, but I will say one last thing. If you meet someone who looks like Naledi, you know you're dealing with a mukbang professional, and that's the most important part.
A professional masticator.
Listen. It's been really fun talking to you this morning and having you as a part of the show this morning. So thank you very much, Naledi. And keep up the good work on YouTube. You can go and follow Naledi. Here's a look at her YouTube channel, what it looks like. So you can go and make sure that you go and pay attention. She's got really interesting stuff on there. It's not all mukbang, even though I know that's what most people want to go and see. You can see her doing all of her stories. She vlogs. She tells interesting tales. She's got lots of life stories that she pulls into this. And she's also got some good advice. So thank you very much. And thanks for giving us the free info on how to start our own YouTube channels and become successful on there. Well done to you.
Thank you so much. I think this has been the best morning I've had in a really long time. So thank you so much, Mbola. And thank you, Gareth.
Nice to see you. Thank you, Naledi. There you go. She's great. Isn't she awesome? Fantastic.
Yeah, very cool. Good energy.
Love it. And definitely gave you the shit that you should be getting on a daily basis from people. So that's why I enjoyed it. Yes, absolutely.
It was you got to live vicariously through her.
Absolutely. Well, I didn't even have to. I just got to watch her tear you to pieces on some of your nonsense. I love the flavored chicken under the lapa. That's how we're going to finish this morning with Sean. Flavored chicken under the lapa with a jacuzzi and an electric vehicle charging in the same port.
Above ground jacuzzi.
Yeah, very, very nice. All right, everybody, have a happy day. We will see you tomorrow. CliffCentral.com. Be good. Cheers. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.